Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a cloudy day. It's election day. Get out and vote. You have until 7 o'clock to do that. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate as we slide on into hour number three for Tuesday afternoon. Here with Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Going to get three questions at three in just a second. Let's get one more call in on Julio Jones with holding out with the Falcons. Got Will on the line. Let's talk about that. Will, welcome in.
You know, I was just saying, you know, there are people that work with me, and they make twice as much money as me, and they're not as competent. And you see that with a bunch of other people. That's called life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they work half the hours. They get perks that you don't get. He's welcome to go and find another job whenever he gets out of his contract. He signed up for it. He's talked to his agent. He's talked to himself. He's the one that made the decision.
I think we're all with you. Too bad. Thank you, Will. We appreciate it. I mean, anybody disagree with him? They should just pay him more because he's been better?
Yeah, and they shouldn't just pay him more just because he's been better and he's upset that other people are getting paid more. That's just the reality of life. And he has got an opportunity to continue showcasing his talent this upcoming season and even the season after that, and then can have discussions about what the next contract looks like.
He can do that. Now, I understand the frustration.
Of course, I do too. But we can all be frustrated by how much other people are making.
Well, he's 29 years old, so in 3 years, is he going to be even as good as he is right now?
Well, we're seeing what's happening with Dez Bryant,
yeah,
obviously at 29, and he's not getting any offers at this point. Now, Julio Jones is better than Dez Bryant because he's a true downfield threat. And I think there's obviously some differences between the two and why Julio Jones can, he can demand that type of money that you're seeing from some of these other guys because he's just as good or even better than some of the other guys we've been talking about.
Dez Bryant's not putting together back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons.
No, he's not.
hasn't.
Well, and also, Dez Bryant has not had a quarterback like a Matt Ryan either over the past couple of seasons.
Dak.
And I'm a Cowboys fan.
Dak, man.
Dak. Not even close. So it's one of those things, too, that Julio's got to be careful as far as, especially if he thinks that he could go somewhere else and have the same type of production. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. And I understand that he will be older, over 30, but that's just part of playing in the NFL.
Yeah, it's him, his representation. He made a bad deal. You know?
I agree. Now, and out of that deal, though, almost $50 million of it was guaranteed, right?
Yeah, I'm not feeling too bad for him.
Exactly. So, but I'm all about guys trying to maximizing what they can get, especially in the NFL, because a lot of these contracts are not guaranteed. And like his contract is not guaranteed. I mean, he's got his guaranteed money, but the whole mm-hmm. deal is not guaranteed. And the Falcons could drop him at any time they wanted to.
Yeah, I'm for it too, as long as he's living within the deal that he made. Yeah, when the time comes to redo the deal,
exactly,
get as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you want to hold out? Hold out then.
Yeah. And I presume, though, this is a situation where the Falcons are going to be in a position where he's forcing their hand to renegotiate the deal 2 years early.
That's what he's trying.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And I would suspect they're going to do it. And I just don't think that they should. But I think history shows you that these teams will do it.
We'll watch with interest, but right now, not showing up, Julio Jones, the receiver for the Falcons. All right, time now for three questions at three. Let's get to it. All right, got all three of us back in the saddle for three questions today. Lonzo, number one.
All right, should Clemson fans be concerned or upset that Mark Kingston has taken the Gamecocks deeper into the postseason in 1 year than Monty Lee has taken the Tigers in three?
Well, let's go to the Clemson man for this first answer, Richmond.
Well, of course, we have to come to me for this. Granted, I am always the first one to answer the first question, so it's actually not out of turn. But, no, there's no concern right now for Clemson fans. I mean, I know it's disappointing as Clemson fans to see that Monty Lee hasn't been able to get to the Super Regional and obviously to the College World Series, but I think the program is going in the right direction. It's still a miss. Don't get me wrong. Want to see the team continuing to advance, and it's tough to see when your rival gets to a point where they are advancing and all in one game short of the College World Series. But this is Mark Kingston's first year. Let's look at this, you know, down the road. And I get it that it's just in the first year, so it's magnified. But right now, there's no concern. Focus on your team and what you want that team to do, if I'm looking at it from Monty Lee's perspective. And as a Clemson fan, I'm just wanting to see what Clemson does, and I'm not concerned necessarily about what South Carolina does.
All right, Lonzo.
All right, well, you know what? Monty Lee came in with a certain amount of fanfare. I mean, it was kind of a big deal when Clemson got him, and expectations very, very high. Kingston, not so much. So I definitely think that Clemson fans should be concerned, especially with the kind of season that they just had. You would expect them to be finishers, and they weren't.
That's a good point. Got to finish, right? I mean, I'm somewhere in between. Look, Monty Lee's been very successful at Clemson. Great regular seasons. I mean, what, they went 47 this year? Is that what the number was?
Yeah.
It was a big number.
Either 47 or 48. Almost 50.
Yeah. So that's a great year. But one more year, this is going to get a little nasty. That's what I'm thinking. One more year of losing at home in a regional, and it starts to get a little uncomfortable. I don't think he's – I'm not saying he's going to be in trouble after one more year. He's in no trouble right now. He's been great regular season. Got to win your home regionals. You can't be that team that loses your home regionals. So I think it has less to do with South Carolina. It doesn't help that Kingston got him to the Supers this year. I'm sure that Monty Lee secretly wasn't pulling for that.
And that's my point, too, is that it has less to do with what Mark Kingston and South Carolina does. It has more to do with what Clemson is not doing.
Yeah. You've got to get there. You've got to get to the Supers, and at some point you've got to get to the College World Series. I mean, they used to have Omaha stitched on their hats, for goodness sake.
That's right. And then you look at it from the basketball perspective as well. That's Brad Brunell was under some heat because what was he not doing? Not getting to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And that's the same type of measuring stick that you're seeing with college baseballs, especially if you're hosting a regional. You've got to get out of your home region.
Yeah, at Clemson and at South Carolina, getting to host a regional is not going to be enough. So, you know, it's 3 years from Monty. Next year could get, don't you agree, next year could get a little dicey?
Oh, there will definitely be a contingent of Clemson fans that will be upset. I mean, they got upset with Jack Leggett.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get upset with Monty Lee as well, especially if the same thing happens again, of course.
Yeah, and if South Carolina is kind of turning the corner quickly, which it looks like they did during the process of Mark Kingston's first season, turned a corner. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing a lot of players. They got a lot coming back. We'll see if they really turn the corner and have a good regular season next year.
I agree.
It looks good.
So the same thing, flip it on the other side. Were South Carolina fans getting upset with South Carolina coaches based on what Clemson was doing from a football perspective? Clemson makes it to the national championship 2 games or, you know, 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
3 years in the college football playoff. Are South Carolina fans upset at just because it's Clemson getting there and they're not, or are they upset at just focusing on what South Carolina is or isn't doing?
I think what Clemson did in football has made South Carolina better. I think they're more competitive because of that. I think, you know, they had to win. They had to recruit harder, and they're doing that. You know, they're not anywhere close to Clemson's level, but it's made them better that Clemson has been elite for the last few years. That's just what I think. All right, number two, Lonzo.
All right, FIFA World Cup play opens Thursday. The whole world rejoices. With no USA there, how much will you watch? I got to tell you, before I read these questions, before we went on the air, I didn't know that FIFA World Cup started Thursday. And even if America was there, or USA was there, I probably still wouldn't have known without reading this question.
So 0-0 for you.
So
basically,
that would be none at all. Unless it's required viewing. If you're going to say that you're going to be talking about FIFA every day on this show, I still won't watch. I'll just read the highlights somewhere.
I was getting ready to say, we're going to be talking about FIFA. We probably will talk about it. Yeah, we got to talk about it.
We have to talk about
it.
Yeah. We talk NHL. We need to talk FIFA. And you, Alonzo, you said you were going to watch some of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And I did.
Some. Okay, yeah. Why wouldn't you watch some of the FIFA? This is the equivalent to that?
No.
Just because you hate soccer?
No, I'm just not.
Look, I have to admit, almost none. I'll probably watch a little, but it's going to be closer to none than a lot for me. Because there's just no compelling storyline to me. I understand there are compelling storylines. I get that. But you got to be into soccer.
You definitely have to be into soccer. I will watch as it advances and it gets to the championship game.
What's the storyline to you? Brazil? What's the story? Give me a storyline to care about. Can you?
Does North America have a team in the cup?
Don't ask me.
You don't know. I was going to say, maybe you can root for the continent. I don't know.
Is it a storyline? Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldo?
What about them?
That Neymar? I mean, those type of guys?
They're good.
Yeah, they're the elite of the elite.
So I know those names. I couldn't tell you what country they're from, though. I'm sorry. Just good.
Well, you're not a soccer guy.
All right. How much for you, Richmond? How much World Cup for you?
It won't be a lot. It'll be minimal, but as it gets closer, as I said, once it's coming to the championship game, I would actually probably watch at least some of that.
Okay. Some.
Some.
You're in the some category.
Some could be a minute. I guess that qualifies as some.
By the way, our Twitter poll is still up. We'd love your vote on this. At ESPN Upstate. Let me see if I can get a quick update. How much without the USA in the World Cup will you watch? We asked that on Twitter right before we went on the air at 2 o'clock this afternoon, 1 o'clock this afternoon. And 62% of you that have voted so far say little or none. Little or none. 62% of our ESPN Upstate Twitter voters.
Well, it actually dropped a little bit. It was 64%.
Yeah, I got it. It was started out like 70, so getting a little better.
Got some soccer guys
soccer
out there.
Soccer fans get in there and vote. All right, number three, Lonzo.
Okay, what are your expectations for Hunter Johnson's career at Northwestern?
In case you missed it, we did get the decision, I guess, yesterday that Hunter Johnson will transfer to Northwestern. He said he's thrilled to be part of the Wildcat family. And Pat Fitzgerald, the coach, said, "We're ecstatic to add a player of Hunter's caliber and character to our program." Good, but I'm not ready to say great. I mean, he has all the credentials. This guy was the number one pocket passer in the country, number 21 overall player in the class of 2017, according to ESPN. But what keeps sticking in my mind is he couldn't crack the top two at Clemson this year. With some experience coming back after last year, couldn't crack the top two. So I'm not sure he has panned out so far. Is he going to be elite, great, at a place like Northwestern? I'm skeptical, but I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good for Northwestern. They certainly should be thrilled to have him. Don't disagree with that. I don't know that you're going to hear his name in the Heisman conversations. He's got to sit out a year and then he'll have three.
Yeah, sit out a year
more.
And then he's got three to play.
So I will say good, but I will say not great. Who's next?
That's me, I guess.
You're next.
I think based on where he's going to Northwestern, I think he's got an opportunity to be a really, really good quarterback at Northwestern. And I know you mentioned that. Is there a question that he couldn't break the top two at Clemson? And I think it's more of, was he not able to break the top one at Clemson? And I think it's still Trevor Lawrence, knowing that Trevor Lawrence is sitting there who's potentially going to be the face of Clemson on the offensive side for their football team for the next several years. I think that played into it, and that should probably tell you a little bit about Trevor Lawrence as well. I do think Hunter Johnson's a really good quarterback, and going to Northwestern, where it's not typically a football powerhouse, obviously, they're doing better. So I think he's got an opportunity to shine just because he's going to be the guy there.
All right, Lonzo, what do you think?
All right, so everyone talks about how good Hunter Johnson is. I haven't seen him play. So going to Northwestern is the best thing he could have done if he has aspirations to play at the next level, because even though they're probably not going to win as much because of how good the Big Ten is right now, he's going to have the spotlight a lot with who Northwestern plays. Because we know Ohio State gets a lot of coverage, so does Michigan, so does Michigan State to a point, so does Wisconsin. I mean, a lot of big-time coaches are there, a lot of big-time media attention. So if he comes out and shines, even if they don't win as much as he probably wants to, or as anyone probably would, I think it's a good thing for him, and I think he'll do well at Northwestern. Every few years, Northwestern fields a team that's very competitive, and with him there, they got a good shot of it.
So we seem to all be sort of on the same page, that he'll be good, but don't look for anything spectacular? Or one of you looking for something spectacular at Northwestern?
Yeah, so what are you saying that he would need to be in the Heisman to be spectacular? Or
that would be spectacular if he's in that
top
conversation.
Top five of the NFL draft, yeah, coming out?
Something like that, yeah. Can he do that? Potentially, sure, he can do that. Yeah. Do you think he will?
Well, I definitely haven't seen enough to be able to make that type of leap of faith.
You can get on the scouts' radar. I mean, that's one thing you can do there, which you couldn't do at Clemson because he was sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's giving himself an opportunity.
Right. Yeah, it times out perfectly because they got Clayton Thorson. He's been injured, but in the year that Hunter's sitting out, it'll be the last year for Thorson, 3-year starter, and then it's Hunter's to take right after that. So it times out perfectly for him. It's probably one of the reasons he's going there.
I would imagine, yes. And yeah, that his brother played there.
Yeah. Yeah, so it all works out.
That was just a feather. That was just gravy on the top. Yep. Cherry on top, I should say.
All right. 844-477-3776. That's the number here in the huddle. Back with more coming up. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in to the huddle on ESPN Upstate here for the Tuesday edition. 844-477-3776. Our text line always open to you, 71307. Please start your message with ESPN. And we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We got Neil on the line. Neil, welcome into the huddle. How are you?
What's going on, Greg? How are you, buddy?
We're doing well, man. What's up?
A couple things about the World Cup. First of all, I'm one of those knuckleheads that will be watching, not just because of my job, but just because I enjoy all sports across the board.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm going to give you two rules changes in soccer that would help improve. I do think, and you can go ahead and mark this on the call, and 5 years from now we're going to replay this. I do think, I know soccer over the last 5 years in America has picked up a lot. I think it's going to triple or quadruple that over the next 5 years, and I'm going to tell you why. Because sports gambling is coming legal now.
Yep.
Delaware has it on Thursday. New Jersey's going to have it. South Carolina is actually one of the 20 states that's ahead of the curve as far as getting sports gambling. So that changes everything. People that the casual fan will not watch a soccer game, but I guarantee you if they put $100 on it, they'll watch it. And people just like to gamble. So it's going to change a lot of things for soccer here in America, in my opinion.
I agree with
that. Two things that I think that they should change. First of all, the offsides. In football, if a receiver gets behind a defensive back, you're not going to if you throw them the ball once they get behind the defensive back and they catch it for a touchdown, you're not going to call offsides against them because it's the defensive player's position is supposed to be where they can actually stop the opposing team from scoring. And that's one of the things people don't like about soccer is that when you get behind the guy, if he passes it to you after you get behind the guy, it's called offsides and it doesn't count, which it negates the whole play, which is stupid because it's the defensive player's it's his responsibility to stop the offensive player. The other thing that I think they should change, and the offsides, I don't know if they ever will, but this is something that I know drives people crazy that watches soccer, and it even drives me crazy. And I like soccer. I actually like it better than baseball. But the one thing that drives me crazy is that when you're in your own zone, you shouldn't be able to kick it back behind you to another player on your team. And they're constantly going backwards in soccer. And that's the one thing about soccer. No other sport do you see players where they're constantly going backwards in order to try to go forward. In football, if you hand the ball to Ezekiel Elliott, he's not going to go back 10 yards and then try to go forward. I mean, Barry Sanders might have done it, but he was one of the only ones. And he wouldn't go back 10 yards. they're constantly kicking the ball, passing the ball back and forth to each other behind, 20, 30 yards behind each other. And that drives people crazy because that's what causes it to be 1-0, 0-0. And I'm not saying that it has to be 9-8 in order for it to be entertaining. I just think that they should make it to where they have to be more offensive, more aggressive, especially when they're in their own zone, on their own side of the field. I think it makes it more entertaining. I think it makes it to where the other team can attack more. And if you take away the offsides and you add those two things, it would increase the scoring. But it's not just about the scoring, because to me, baseball is more exciting when there's not a home run. When there's a guy that gets on base and he steals second, then he steals third, and you produce runs, not just a three-run homer. So, I think one of the things about soccer that I actually enjoy is that a lot of times the refs, they don't ruin the game. A lot of these guys in soccer, they're the biggest actors in the world. They barely get touched, and and the refs don't fall for that most of the time.
Right.
Whereas in, like, the NFL, to me, and even the NBA, Major League Baseball, they review everything. And the one thing that they don't do is they don't have computer automated strike zones. But, yeah, you can review every single thing at first base. The NFL, you can't touch a quarterback in certain spots. You can't go below his knees. You can't go above his chest. You know, if a guy's falling, if you're going to hit him and he starts to fall in an awkward way, you probably were going to hit him in the sternum, but instead you hit him in the helmet and it's a penalty on you. You know, pass interference, the defensive guy doesn't have any control of the ball at all. He cannot fight for the ball whatsoever. If he touches the receiver, there's just so many things. And that's one of the things that I do like about soccer is that the refs don't seem to ruin the games. What does ruin the games is it's not aggressive enough, it's not offensive enough, and it's just the fact that these teams are so timid to just barely make a mistake, and it's so easy to make a mistake, and then the other team scores, and they play like that until – and if you ever watch soccer, you'll notice this. The game is so boring until one team scores. Once the second that one team scores, the other team starts playing differently, and it opens it up a little bit, and it becomes a way more interesting game. Me by watching it, if they would just make it that way from the beginning, it would be way more interesting to watch from get-go. So
Neil, who should we pull for in this thing? Who are you pulling for?
I tell you, I'm pulling for Argentina, because I don't know if he's the greatest offensive player ever, but he's the greatest. Lionel Messi's the greatest offensive player I've personally ever seen, and I've been watching it now for a good 15 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit there. I'm not one of those people say, oh, he's the greatest ever, because I don't know. I didn't see the guys back in the day. But from when I started watching it, the things that he does is unbelievable with his footwork. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, there's another guy that is just as good. I don't agree with that. He's bigger, he's stronger, and he might be faster. But Lionel Messi, the way he does his footwork is unbelievable. And the things that he can do to trick people, and he'll have two guys on him and somehow get through and score a goal. It's amazing. So for me, I want him to win the World Cup just because of the fact that I get tired of people saying, well, he's great, but he's not a World Cup winner.
Gotcha, Neil. Appreciate the call. Let's get the calls are pouring in on soccer today. World Cup still 2 days.
Never away. Anticipated this, did you?
Quentin, you are next in the huddle. Hi, Quentin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
So I do agree with the previous caller on the fact that soccer will grow tremendously in the next 5 or 10 years. Sports gambling has something to do with it, but even if there was no sports gambling, I think it would still grow. Because the trajectory, which is growing right now, is amazing. I've called the show a couple of times already about Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in this area, you've never been to an Atlanta United game, you need to go. They easily get 72,000 there if they open the upper deck, which I don't know why they don't do every week. But even when they don't have the upper deck open in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they still pack 45,000 people there every single home game. It's absolutely amazing. But besides that, I want to talk about the offsides rule in soccer. You cannot get rid of the offsides rule in soccer. The field is really big. It has to be big. Can you imagine if there was no offsides rule? Therefore, there would be players spread out through the entire field. I mean, it'd be chaos. It'd be like playing soccer in elementary school. There'd be no structure. You absolutely must have offsides in soccer. The scoring is low. I hear people complaining about, the scores are low in soccer. It's not exciting. But if you really watch soccer and if you're really a fan of soccer, the scoring is not what makes it exciting. Yes, it's amazing when somebody scores, but it's the buildup. It's the defense. It's the tackling. It's everything. That's why they call soccer the beautiful game. I love football. I love basketball. Soccer by far is my favorite sport, hands down.
Appreciate the call, Quentin. Soccer fans are coming out. All right. All right. Brazil's the favorite to win the World Cup. And, of course, they have Neymar. Just to answer your question, Lonzo, where these stars are. Messi with Argentina. You know that. And then the other guy you got. Y'all aren't helping me.
Yeah. Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, Brazil. I mean, no. Ronaldo is, you don't know. You don't know, really?
I'm letting you sweat over there.
Portugal.
Yes.
Ronaldo's Portugal. So those are your three biggies, right? You got to watch for those guys. Got to see, if you want to see the best, you want to see
those
stars.
Those are the three stars.
Yeah. So, you know, those.
And those guys are also on the Forbes list of
top batch guys. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely that. All right. Let's take our break. We'll come back with more here in the huddle. Still going to hear from Jacob Olsen, who had a pretty good game for the Gamecocks last night, even though they got beat 14-4 by Arkansas. We'll do that next. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Oh, I know it's cloudy today, but at least it's not hot. It's like 74 degrees out there with a cloud cover.
This is the spring that we didn't have, really. It just jumped pretty quickly to hot weather.
Well, it's one day of mild temperatures, back up to the upper 80s tomorrow. So
just enjoy a little bit of a tease. That's it. But see, now I'd like this temperature with a little bit of sunshine, though.
Yeah, I do like the sunshine. Not raining, at least right where we are, but the clouds have kept the temperature down and... that will last today only, as we'll see some more sunshine tomorrow. South Carolina did not get it done last night, and it was really kind of over early, as they were in a winner-take-all game with Arkansas to go to the College World Series. They got close, but lost big last night, 14-4, Arkansas scoring five runs in the first inning, so it was... I won't say it was over early, but it was out of hand early, and they had a long hole to dig out of and were never able to do that. They had a bunch of walks, six walks in the game, and they hit two batters, and then Arkansas at times just knocking the cover off the ball. So, and then defense for the Gamecocks let them down. It's been so good all year, but not so good in this Super Regional in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So South Carolina's season comes to an end. Outfielder Jacob Olsen among the Gamecocks, who talked to the media afterward and talked about the resiliency of this team after they were left for dead during the regular season and came back and made the run to the Super Regionals.
This team fights. I mean, we're one unit, and everything we did this year to turn this thing around, you know, that's something I'll never forget. You know, it hurts as bad as anything can hurt right now in baseball. I mean, that was, you know, a big game. So what we'll do is we'll just keep fighting like we always have. And these seniors and these draft guys, you know, good luck to them. And they carried us. So
yeah, it's a great turnaround, no doubt. Successful year for Mark Kingston in his first year as the head coach of the Gamecocks. I saw a quote from him last night after the game where he said that South Carolina is probably the 10th best team in the country. That might be just slightly optimistic, but I get it. I mean, they almost got to the final eight with one more win they would have. So I guess I can see where you say that. But just based on what they did, how they looked in the Super Regional, two out of the three games, and then, you know, what they did in the regular season, that's pretty bold to rank them in the top 10 at this point of the season.
You are who you say you are. He's got to believe it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. I'm down with it.
And of all things, what they were able to do, at least at Arkansas, which most people felt that Arkansas was unbeatable at home. They ended up beating them twice.
During the season,
During the season. Once in the regular season, once in the Super Regional. So you got to be happy with at least being able to do that, which a lot of other teams weren't able to do.
Do you think Hog Noxious will go to Omaha?
Yeah.
Probably makes the trip.
Yes, I think so. And that's why I'm glad Vanderbilt didn't make the trip.
The Whistler?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to watch any of the games.
I know. I appreciate passionate fans. I didn't like that dude for Arkansas, and I don't like the Whistler either.
Yeah.
No, it just takes away. Now, the guy from Arkansas is not making a bunch of noise.
He's so not. At least you
can ignore him a little easier.
You can.
But, you know, TV didn't ignore him.
No. Well, because they understand people, they want to see him.
Yeah. pointing at the umpire in that second game for like 5 minutes. I mean, it takes some diligence, some stamina to do that, right?
It does, yes.
I just, you know, this is not a good look. And the worst of it is when they show him at the game last night where he's just kind of leaned back with his big old belly up in the air and his bare feet sticking up in your face. That's more than I needed to look at consistently on my TV screen.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we can focus back on the game. But, yeah. But that's baseball because there's times when there's really nothing going on and they're trying to find some type of other entertainment.
Yeah, some sidebar stories. Okay. Yeah, he probably goes.
I think he goes.
And probably behaves similarly.
Yeah. Well, and Arkansas has a legitimate shot.
Yeah, they do.
They're good. They are good.
I mean, really good. And, you know, they didn't get the best pitching performance out of their number two guy the game that the Gamecocks won. So if he's hot, then they'll be a real force in Omaha. They certainly are one of the favorites in the College World Series, which gets started this weekend. There are games Saturday and Sunday to start it up in Omaha. All right, final break. We'll come back and wrap it up here in the huddle, 844-477-3776. If you want to get a final call in, you can do that now. The huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's the final segment of the Tuesday huddle here on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Don't forget about the radio.com app. That's the place. That's the new official home of ESPN Upstate on your smartphone. Download it today and make us a favorite. Then you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Radio.com app is where you go. And then just search for ESPN Upstate and favorite us, and you'll find us there every time you want to listen on your phone. Radio.com is the app. So we're waiting for official word on this, but there are reports. College football reporter Brett McMurphy used to work for ESPN, doesn't anymore, but he's still covering college football. He is reporting that the NCAA Competition Committee is recommending three new bowl games for 2020, for the 2020 season. And Myrtle Beach is one of them. He is citing multiple unnamed sources. Today, the Oversight Committee, Football Oversight Committee, is expected to approve the recommendations. The proposed host site for the Myrtle Beach game, and it's really a Conway game because it's Brooks Stadium at Coastal Carolina. That's not Myrtle Beach. That's Conway, man.
Yeah, how far is that?
15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, like and 10, 12
how
minutes.
Big is that stadium?
20,000. Seats 20,000. Actually, they're right now it seats 15,000. They're going to expand it to 20,000 for 2018. So, yeah, we're not talking about a huge bowl game here, are we?
No, we're not. Well, and at least it might have the appearance that there are more people there. Because some of these bowl games you see in these bigger stadiums,
right?
I mean, they're almost completely empty.
Yeah, if they show that bowl game and there's hardly anyone in the stands, that would be
very bad.
It's a nice place. I've driven by it. I haven't attended a game there, but it's the cut through. If you want to go down to Surfside from Myrtle Beach, you can cut through right by the stadium.
Yeah, I've driven by it too and thought, is that a high school stadium?
Yeah, it looks like a good size. Yeah. It looks kind of like Dorman.
Yeah, I would imagine there's some other high schools that have bigger stadiums or equivalent.
But it's nice. You know, I mean, it's relatively new, and if they expand it by 5,000 seats, that'll help. The athletic director at Coastal Carolina, Matt Hogue, said he's aware of the recommendation and today's vote. He said the university is willing to be a partner with the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce and help Myrtle Beach with sports tourism efforts. The Chamber of Commerce executive director of sports tourism said Coastal is a tremendous partner for sports tourism in Myrtle Beach. They're always there to step up when these opportunities come up for events like they have with the Myrtle Beach Invitational Basketball Tournament. He said they believe that the vote will not solidify, won't make certain the Myrtle Beach Bowl, but it will be a big step in the process of getting there. And McMurphy has said probably going to be July 1st before anything becomes completely official. This game should be on TV. It's one of the ESPN networks. The Ocho, maybe. I don't know. And the game would be held in December. That certainly makes sense because it's not a January bowl game, but some probably one of those mid-December bowl games, right?
Yeah, like December 10th.
Yeah, yeah. It's great to get one in South Carolina, but man, we have too many of these already.
Way too many bowls. Why do we need this? And I get it that Coastal Carolina would be happy that this happens, and obviously Conway and Myrtle Beach bring in at least some people, but
what kind of teams are you going to get for a 20,000-seat stadium in Myrtle Beach? That's the question. What kind of game are you going to get? Not a biggie.
Not a big one, no. You're not. We have way too many bowl games. It's so diluted now. Nobody's going to pay attention to these bowl games, especially at this type of level. They're just not.
Here's the other thing. Of course, another bowl game out of the three is supposed to be at Wrigley Field in Chicago. We've seen that football effort before, right? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it didn't turn out too well back in 2010 when Northwestern and Illinois played there. They could only go one side of the end zone or down one end zone.
Well, you might want to get used to that one because McMurphy is saying that the Chicago bowl game would feature the Big Ten against the ACC. So we could have some area schools going up there for that.
Wow, yeah. Everybody else is going to Florida. We're going to Chicago in the middle of the winter.
In the middle of the winter, yes.
And then another South Carolina city is in the mix for the third bowl game, and that's Charleston. What if we get a Myrtle Beach and a Charleston bowl game?
What stadium is in Charleston?
Johnson Haygood, Citadel. I mean, there's Charleston Southern Stadium. I've been there. It ain't much.
They can call it the Charleston Bowl and play at Williams-Brice. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be. I mean, you know, like Johnson Haygood is a fairly sizable stadium. It's old as dirt.
And so I just don't see this.
Yeah, well, you should get in there and cover it because I don't know if this has changed since I've done a game down there, but some to get to the press box, some of those catwalks you have to walk on inside that thing.
Oh, a little scary?
Yeah. Yeah. Carrying radio equipment.
No, thank you.
With some former color analysts you've had, I'm just trying to picture them on the catwalks. That would be interesting.
I was the color analyst at this time. This is back into Wofford days, so no. Those catwalks are interesting in there. And maybe they've upgraded a little bit, but I doubt it. That thing's been there forever. So we'll see. We'll see if Myrtle Beach and or Charleston become official, but it certainly looks good for Myrtle Beach right now. For Brooks Stadium in Conway, as we can continue to see just how many bowl games we can create.
Yeah, and so how many would that put it up to?
Is it's a bunch. I don't know.
Is it over 30?
Yes, well over.
Is it like 34?
It's 43.
It'll 43.
It'll be 43 if these three new ones are. So okay. I guess it's at 40 now, going to 43. Crazy.
See, that's insane that I didn't even know that it's that many. I thought it was too many, and we're hovering at 30.
Yeah.
No. It's exponentially too many, over 40.
All right, coming up tomorrow here in the huddle at 2:04, we're going to be joined live by Teddy Cahill. He's the senior writer for Baseball America. We'll talk College World Series matchups with Teddy and continue LeBron Watch. That'll be every day until it happens and continue to give you off-season news there from the NFL and elsewhere. So join us tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in the huddle. Alonzo will be not here, right? All right. We'll do without you tomorrow.
I will be lounging somewhere.
All right. But anyway, Richmond and I and Patrick will be here tomorrow at 1 in the huddle. Straight Up with Sturge is next. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you then.